we live in. And as I said last week, it's not a burden to be alive right now. It's a privilege. And we take that perspective that it's not, this is happening and I wish it was, 19, whatever. No, this is a privilege to be alive in this time. And it's an honor to think that God would bestow upon all of us the privilege of living in America in 2020. And so when you take that to heart and you say, hey, I'm going to do what I can, be that prayer, intercession, reaching out to just one person, whatever that may be, encouraging each other, however that might be, that's healthy. It's a good perspective. And we all need building up. Like I said, it's great for me to hear feedback, and it's great for you to hear feedback. That's part of what the body of Christ is. Bob, you're doing awesome. You're growing in the Lord. You really are. Diane, you're really progressing. You've been growing constantly, constantly, constantly. So that's a healthy perspective, and it helps us know we're on track. Amen? So I'm almost done with the book of Romans. I've been in there surprisingly long, and I've left a whole lot out. So I'm looking at how can I get through this, but I'm going to. But I want you to turn with me this morning to Romans chapter 14. I'm not going to be terribly long, but Romans chapter 14. I preached on this chapter, or minister spoke on it, and I did post it online. This was the Sunday before we started meeting publicly again, because while this is a chapter, Romans 14, it's on Christian liberty, basically. And just as a quick background to the chapter, let me read verse 17 first. This, because that's the passage I'm going to, the verse. For the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So if you're like me, I don't know if you're like me or not with this. Every time I read that passage, I immediately think of Ron Canoy. You remember that worship leader from Jamaica from back in the early 90s. And he had that. That was one of my favorite songs he would do. And we still, you can find on YouTube. If you've never heard it, it's a good one. I think he's Jamaica, right? Ron Canoy, Caribbean. I love his albums to this day. Really, really good stuff. So righteous. I would try to sing it up here, but I don't want to humiliate myself. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. My intention this morning is about how that's an internal kingdom and why this verse was put smack dab in the middle of this chapter, or towards the end, but it's put right in the middle of all these things that Paul was addressing with the church. And I spoke to this before we started meeting again, because one thing that's an unfortunate situation that happens, it happened in this time and it happens today, is that people in the body of Christ will often divide over non-essential things. It breaks my heart. And I shared last week, we have two different presidential candidates, and we expect every president to unify the country, and that's a burden no man can carry. A house divided itself cannot stand. And so when I look at it, unity ultimately has to be displayed and demonstrated in the body of Christ. Psalm 133, how good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. Just by the oil flowing from Aaron's beard, that's where the oil speaks of the anointing. It speaks of the Holy Spirit. The anointing flows, the Spirit of God flows, and there's unity. And unity, as we know, is not sameness. We gather around Jesus Christ. We gather around the essentials of Him. Virgin birth, death, burial, resurrection, the blood of Jesus. We gather around those things. But what was happening here with this early church is they were scattering over the issue of food and drink and special days. And so Jesus addressed this in the Gospels. And Paul addresses it again to the Corinthians because they were thinking, I believe, hey, this meat was sacrificed to an idol. Well, I believe Jesus has purified and cleansed all foods. I can eat this meat with a clean conscience. But Diane may not be able to. So we were at odds with each other because my conviction's right, your conviction's right, and they're splitting. Same, it talks about special days in here. I don't know if you've ever seen this. And if you are of this conviction, then if you're right before God with it, that's fine. But I was in my home church, and there's a couple individuals years ago who were rather divisive over the issue of Christmas. We're not to celebrate Christmas. It's a pagan holiday. Jesus may not have been born on December 25th. He was probably born in September. But we're honoring Jesus Christ's birth and the Emmanuel God with us. What happened? Someone came in with the device that they were dividing over special days, as Paul says it, instead of uniting around Christ. This group zealous for Jesus, and this group zealous for Jesus. So instead of dividing over a day, let's unite around Christ. And that's what Paul was addressing. And I addressed this chapter in particular, and I did put this on the website. And I think some of it's in our, when we reopen, it's not an issue here. So I'm not saying it is, but we wanted to set the tone up front because people have strong convictions. Wear a mask, don't wear a mask. Do this, don't do that. And it's broken my heart because this has not happened here, and I'm grateful for it. But I have seen churches or individuals, just abandon places they've been at for years because they don't like the way this person did something with the virus. And basically it's something as simple as a mask or something. And I think that shows a lack of maturity in the body of Christ as a whole. If I can't suck it up, if I can't in honor give preference to one another and take the lower seat and be willing to be wrong for the sake of unity in Christ, I have some maturing to do. Amen? Everyone doesn't like to hear that. Sometimes I don't like to hear that, but it's the truth. And so it's amazing to me how we can look at what Paul did. My son is rolling around on the floor up here. Thank you. It's amazing how Paul addressed issues years ago with different situations and scenarios that we still have today. It just looks different. Different faces on it. Different scenario, different situation. Okay? And so in the midst of all of this, Jesus says this in Luke 6:45, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil." And that's, you don't have to turn there, but that's Luke 6:45. "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of his heart, the mouth speaks." So that was, once again, Jesus was having a squabble with, the Pharisees were having a squabble with Jesus because your glasses aren't clean. Jesus says, whatever comes in you, he actually says this in Mark, the food you take in doesn't go to your heart, it goes to your belly and is eliminated. Jesus says, be careful what comes into your heart. So if you have a conviction, I don't think anyone does, but if you do about eating bacon, then don't do it, that's fine. I don't eat it a lot because it's not good for you. But when I do, that food's not going into my heart. When I turn on the TV, when I turn on the radio, those things can come into my heart. When I surround myself with different company, those are the things I'm taking in. That's food. Amen? Okay? In Matthew 15, chapter 15, verse 17, he elaborates what I just said. He says, "Do you not understand whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." Jesus says this again in Luke 17, verse 20. He says, "Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered and said to them, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is where? It's within you." And so I speak a lot on the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is accompanied by the preaching of the gospel, repentance, miracles, the casting out of demons, salvations. It's accompanied by all these different things. But at the end of the day, if my heart is in an impure place, there was a king in the Old Testament, I think it was King Asa, and said he did what was good, but his heart was not loyal towards the Lord. And so he may have done good things, but at the end of the day, his heart led him astray at the end of his life. And the Lord's very concerned about the condition of our hearts. And that's why Paul puts here, the kingdom of God is not in these externals. These might be a way to get to God. At the end of the day, the kingdom of God has to, Jesus has to take his king and his lordship ultimately within my heart. Or else it's just religion. It's an outward thing that I do. I can pray and I can do these things and stand before the Lord and says, depart from me, I never knew you. Because he looks at the condition of our heart and he's very concerned about that. And so Paul is addressing that right there in the middle. The kingdom of God is not on these secondary things. It's not on these trivial things. It's not in non-essentials. It's in Christ Jesus, in your heart. Amen? Now just remind again to be very careful. I'm very zealous for this. Everyone has things you're zealous for. Be careful how you speak. Because Paul was dealing with the body of Christ here. Be careful how you speak of the body of Christ. What happened when Paul, Saul at the time, was on the Damascus Road? Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Well, he wasn't. Jesus had already ascended to heaven at that time, right? Who was he persecuting? His body. Why do you persecute me? He's persecuting his body. And as the church, I just say this, and anyone who watches or anyone who's here, just guard your heart. And if you struggle with, we need to unite around Christ, not divide around your politics, your convictions on this thing, your convictions on that thing. Please, I implore you, find your commonality around Jesus Christ. Because if I have those essentials who are there, now if you come into me and you, hey, you know, you don't believe Jesus was the Son of God, okay, that's an issue where we're not walking in unity there, okay? But if we're on the same place with the blood of Jesus, shed blood of Christ, death, burial, resurrection, salvation by grace through faith, if we're on those pages, you know, Diane and I can differ and still walk together. Maybe I'm wrong, maybe she's wrong, but hey, we can walk together, we can unite around Him. And it's so, so important that as the body of Christ at large, especially now that we don't divide over food and drink, whatever that food and drink may be, or a special day. I'm not saying any of you are. I'm not saying that necessarily we are as a church here, per se. But sometimes things get within your heart, because right now, if you look in the world, and I check my own heart, you can turn on the news for 2 seconds. You can go out and see what's going on. And things start to well up on the inside of you. Sometimes those things aren't healthy. Can I get an amen on that? Things will come inside of me, and I say, you know what? I need the Holy Spirit. I need you, because sometimes if I operate out of that place, I'm operating out of a place where Christ is not king over that emotion or action in my life. Amen?
Amen.
Emotions are good. Emotions are healthy. It's what I do with those. Like I said some time ago, a couple months ago, I can be sad. I can be angry and not let the sun go down your wrath. It's normal to be angry. It's what I do with that when I get angry that determines who is king in my heart, me or Christ. Okay. Oftentimes in my life, too many times, it's been me. So Lord, be king over my heart. So when that emotion comes in, I'm governed by a higher kingdom. Amen. So he talks in here, the kingdom of God is not in food and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And I want to read this quote, and I've said it to you before. This was written, I believe it was during World War II. It says, some men die by shrapnel. Some go down in flames. But most men perish inch by inch playing silly little games. What, play with little games? I'm going to read that again. Some men die by shrapnel. Some go down in flames. But most men perish inch by inch in a play at little games. What he was talking about, the writer of that, some men are out there on the battlefield. World War II, okay? Some men are out there storming the beaches of Normandy. They're dying by shrapnel. They're dying bombs. He says some men are dying because they're playing little, and I'm not speaking of the political nation of our day, but at that time, political games, they're doing this, they're doing that. As the church, make sure that as I go forward to the end in Christ, I don't take a tumble because I get mad about a carpet or something. No one in here does that, but it's happened. I don't get mad because Diane supports this thing and I don't. And I don't let those things divide. As the church is a time, as I said last week, full of the joy of the Holy Spirit, righteousness, peace, and joy. Okay? But it's also a time, as we read in 13, for soberness and understanding the times and recognizing at the end of the day, our job is to point people to Jesus. Amen. It's like John the Baptist. The disciples with him, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. They left John and they went and they followed Jesus. That's the job description of every believer. My job is not to get sidetracked by silly little games, but to recognize His kingdom transcends over all the earth. And at the end of the day, we're pointing people to Him. If I keep that, I think it was Peter Lord said this, you keep the main thing, the main thing. The main thing, the main thing. What's the main thing? It's Jesus. Jesus is the main thing. Keep the main thing, the main thing. I've been guilty in my own heart, in my own life, of not doing that. This becomes more important. That becomes more important. And in the day, my ability to have this is more important than Jesus being glorified. I can't have that in my heart and life. He has to be king over my heart. Amen? Amen. So, I'm going to go through righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit rather quickly. But righteousness, you guys know this well. I know you do. But it's right standing with God through Jesus Christ. So, in Romans chapter 4, don't turn there, just listen. Verse 4 through 6, it says, now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted to him as righteousness. Okay? Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. So righteousness is given to us apart from works, through Jesus Christ. And my favorite one is this, in Philippians chapter 3, that I may be found in him, not having my own righteousness. You remember in Isaiah 64, and it says, my righteousness is filthy rags? Okay? Not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Jesus Christ. The righteousness which is from God by faith. I know you guys know this, but it's important to be grounded on that. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. To know where my righteousness comes from. Sometimes what happens when Paul's talking about food and drink here, our righteousness, if we're not careful, becomes a performance issue. I've been there. Performance. I'm righteousness by doing this because I ate this food. I'm righteous because I abstained from this food. Now, I'm not doing away with standards of holiness. Bible is very clear on that. However, I believe true holiness starts from the inside and works its way out. Because willpower only works up to a certain point. Willpower is good for a little bit. But at the end of the day, as Jesus said, whatever's inside is going to come out. So I want my righteousness and my holiness to not be governed to by external things, but from a relationship that flows from knowing where my righteousness comes from and knowing who I put my faith and my trust in. And where I put my faith and my trust. So sometimes what happens to me, when I don't live up to my own standards, or when you don't live up to my standards that I place on myself, I get upset. And division always happens in that instant. Amen? And sometimes it's important to realize, where is my faith at? I want to look at another, just looking at him this morning, or dropped in my heart, in 2 Chronicles, chapter 14 through 16, and he talks about this. This is King Asa, I think it is. But he started off good, and in chapter 16, verse 7, that's 2 Chronicles, says this. This was the prophet was sent to him. It says, because you have relied on the king of Syria, and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore, the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. What was he guilty of? Start off well. The prophet comes to him and says, because you have relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord your God. And he goes down later in verse 9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. I love that. As the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, I was talking to a pastor friend of mine this week, and we were chatting about the world and everything. And one thing I don't want to happen, I believe it's very important for Christians and believers, I'm a major proponent of this, to be involved in all levels of society. I always share this story about a man of God who was fantastic business leader. He got radically saved. And he went to his pastor and was like, gosh, I need to quit my job and go be in the ministry. And the pastor looked at him and said, how many people work for you? They gave him a number. It was a lot. He said, you have more influence in your job than most pastors, than 98% of pastors in the country. It's perspective. I believe in that. However, at the end of the day, I can't trust in the arm of flesh to save me. I can't trust in a system that's not the kingdom of God to deliver me. If I do, I fear I'm guilty of the same fate that this man had. And he ended his life, it says in verse 12, in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet, and his malady was very severe. Yet in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but his physicians. So at the end of his life, his feet, his walk, everything was crippled because he trusted in the arm of flesh to do something that only Christ could do. And so I wonder sometimes, you know, I'm a major proponent going to all the world. But when I pray and I seek God, at the end of the day, my trust and my hope, as I said last week, if it's not in Him alone, that's going to be found out in my heart. And some things are going to crumble on the inside of me. Peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to go into it by saying this. If something external can take away my peace, if something external can take away my joy, there's an area in my heart where Jesus isn't quite king over yet, I would say. And I've been there myself. And that's not a rebuke on anyone. That's talking to myself. If there's a place where Lord, I'm trusting in this thing, I'm trusting in that, the Lord's going to bring me back to trusting in Him. And I always think of Noah on the ark, instructed to build the ark. Everyone thinks, this guy's a fool. What is he doing? Builds the ark. Even when he's out there, he's helpless. He's helpless at the midst of the raging waters and everything going on around. What's happening? I don't know. I was just obedient to the Lord. There had to be a complete trust in Him that transcends what I know. Amen? Mm-hmm. You look at peace. Always think of the story of Jesus on sleep on the boat. I probably would be one of the disciples. Gosh, let's get this fixed. What are you doing? Get up. Get this out. And He's at perfect peace. The peace of God that passes all understanding. It's supernatural. If I can't explain it, if it passes understanding, that can only come from Him. And it has to be proven. It has to come in times where there's no reason for it. Because I know, God brings all of us to situations and places where I have nothing else to trust in but Him. And if it's just like King Asa, and I take my eyes off of Him and I trust in the arm of the flesh, that's going to be found out. And the Lord's gracious with us, and He'll correct it, and corrects me all the time. But He's my hope, and He's my foundation. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. If in externals can change and topple the internals of my righteousness in Him alone, then amen. Holy Spirit, do a work in my heart. Amen. Amen. I had a situation, let me say this too. I'm going on a bit longer with this. Maybe we need to hear it. Charles Spurgeon made this statement. He says, we don't know His grace is sufficient until we learn that we are insufficient. We don't know His grace is sufficient until we learn we are insufficient. Man's extremities is God's opportunity. And I shared this some in our Bible study yesterday. I experienced this on a profound level two or three weeks ago. And my wife knows about it. But Paul boasted in his weaknesses and infirmities. He did. Because he says, when I'm weakest, the power of Christ rests on me. And it doesn't mean that I can't do all things through Christ who strengthens me, but it means one way I can do all things is through Christ who strengthens me. And sometimes, at least for me, you know, I can get a little big in the britches, however it's called, whatever you phrase, or big-headed, and you think, Lord, I've got this subconsciously. I've done this before. I can do this. And I start to take steps without the Holy Spirit. And He draws me on that. Ooh, without me, Clay, you got nothing. And He brings me back to my knees. And I said, Lord, in this moment, I have weakness. My strength comes from You. The externals in life have proved to me that with when I take my eyes off you, or when I get so used to something I can just do it without even thinking, Lord, you're going to bring me back to my knees. So I want to walk in that position. Because when I'm weak, I'm strong. In my weakness, that's where I carry strength. That's when I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. And that's the position. Say, that's weakness. That's the strongest position in the world. To be a position where I'm completely reliant upon Him. Because very few people can do it. And we're working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Amen? And the Lord does allow us to walk through places and walk through areas. Sometimes we walk areas and we think, man, you're not here, God. You're not doing this, you're not doing that. But Lord, I depend upon you. And even if it's just a simple prayer every day, I've spoken on the Lord's Prayer. I love the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, art in heaven, hallowed be your name. One part of that prayer is, give us this day our daily bread. Starts every day off. Lord, I look to you to provide for me. So it's my job. Daily bread comes from me working my job. Lord, help me to do a great job at work today. Let me fix problems that my managers can't even fix to help the company out. Okay? Sometimes praying in the Spirit's good in those moments. Amen? And sometimes I've done that. Pray like, oh, Andrew, I found something out, you know. It's God, you know. Sometimes when I think I'm something I'm not, the Lord show me, hey, you need me. So, remember that we're becoming more like Him. All right. I'm going to wrap up here in about 5 to 10 minutes. But peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. James 1:2, there's another old song. I think it was B.B. and C.C. Wynum. Do you remember them? Back in the 90s as well, Count It All Joy. There was a song in James chapter 1, verse 2. Every time I read this verse, that song gets stuck in my head. So I've got two competing old gospel songs racing in my mind today. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into various trials. Just a simple question all of us can ask. Can we find joy when our externals are bad? Can we, like Apostle Paul, who are taken and beaten and going into prison, and they're singing in jail? Like, I don't always know that that would be the case. And I think if the Lord, I think He may be doing this some in our nation, in our land. If this happens, then it's a good thing. Where we're shaken out of our comfort some. That's a good thing. Because I want to be in a position in my heart where you could throw me into jail for violating the Equality Act or something, and I could go in there singing. That's what I want. That's a peace that passes all understanding. That's a joy unspeakable. That's something that's going on because the kingdom of God is within me, not in bars in front of me that I can't get out of. It's not in a hard cell. I'm not saying that's going to happen to me. But it's a good question to ask. It happened to Paul. The apostles and disciples, all of them except for John, they don't believe John was crucified, but all of them were martyred for their faith. Do we have that kind of joy in our church today? I say our church, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ today. Just a healthy question. Is there joy in my heart? Is the kingdom of God in that rather than the externals? Food and drink's pretty simple when it comes to jail cells and Paul. Paul had some unbelievable things happen to him. He says this: 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. And we wonder why the Lord entrusted him to write so much of the New Testament. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city. He had a lot of perils, didn't he? In perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea. We got one of those in Acts chapter 27 when they were on the sea. Remember that, the storm? In perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I'm not weak? Who is made to stumble? And I do not burn with indignation. He was giving his credentials as an apostle there. I always wonder, we have so many people. We have more apostles in America today than there's people in China. And look at this. He was defending his apostleship from all of that. This is how he was defending it. Not even so much his gifts, not even so much his abilities, his speaking, his writing. Remember, I think they say he was an unimpressive in appearance and speech. But he says, I've gone through all these things and I've never lost my joy. I've never lost my faith in Christ. I've never lost it. There's situations. I remember when I went to Bible school, the lady who was there, one of the ladies who was there, she said, Clay, while you're here, this place is going to make you bitter or it's going to make you better. And I've seen that. All of us have situations in our life. All of us have lived long enough. You guys, we could probably all write a book on it. Where there's a situation that it's an external situation that may appear to be bad. It's a bad boss work situation. You write, you name it, whatever it is. And I have the choice there to either count it all joy and grow, like Paul did, in those situations. Lord, be king in my heart. Or I can become bitter at God. And I've been there myself, and so I can speak on it. I've had a time in my own life, years ago, where situations caused me to be bitter at God. And yet to bring me to a place of repentance and a place of trusting Him anew and afresh. And it's a great thing. It brings me to Him. But what's He after there? He's saying, Clay, if you're in a situation where food and drink, or whatever this is, or special days, externals, breaking up the internal kingdom of God within your heart, and it's causing you to become bitter at me, then, you know, hey, we need to come in and do some heart surgery in you. Holy Spirit needs to do some work in our hearts. It's one of my prayers I pray, Holy Spirit, do heart surgery in me. I can't fix me. You can, I can't. I'm going to be a problem if you can't. And so I think the Lord's looking for that today. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I said this last week, I said the week before, it's going on in our world, in our land, whatever's happening, even if America is good, we have brothers and sisters in North Korea and China and Iran who are living these things. And I guarantee you that, you know, the color of the carpet or what this guy said or what that guy said is not on their radar. They're probably far more aligned with the Apostle Paul than we are. And as believers in America, I enjoy our religious liberty. I enjoy the freedom I have to meet with you beautiful people and worship God together. But I wonder sometimes if we... I have a book at home. It's my late uncle's pastor. He wrote it. It was actually... his name's Terry Bennett. 2019 is actually a transcription of the sermon. And it was hilarious. He said, could you imagine a time where... And he started describing things that we've seen this year in 2020, this was in 2019, and he was writing it to say, could those external things, would that change the internal reality of the kingdom of God within our hearts? And it's a good question to ask. And I want us to all be, I want to be in this place that I'm preaching it to you, and I think he does, Jesus does too, where my job, my mandate is to point people to Jesus. I'm going to have more efficiency because I have the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So, Lord, you're very concerned about my heart. Like the king in Chronicles says, he did good, but his heart was not right with God. I'll have to find that passage and send it to you later. You can go through some 2 Chronicles. He did good, but his heart was not right, and he ended in a bad place. I want our hearts to be right and pure, where if you strip everything, if you come in here and say, you know what? You have to recognize this sin or we're going to shut you down. So when you shut us down, it doesn't change. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it happens in other countries. And if it happens here, then it happens here. But God's going to have a people who say, you know what? Jesus is more important. Amen. The kingdom of God is more important. The mission of the kingdom is more important than going along to get along. The internal reality of the kingdom of God is expressed. The kingdom is expressed in different ways, but the internal reality doesn't change when you stop what I do. If you look at prayer, prayer is a tool, what? To bring you to Jesus. Preaching, evangelism, is a tool to bring others to Jesus. Prophecy, we've gotten away from this, I think. Prophecy, testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It's to point people to Jesus. Be it that their destiny in Jesus, what is to bring people to Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. If I ever get away from that, and if situations dictate that I change that, then Holy Spirit, correct me before I stand before your throne. Amen? Mm-hmm. I don't want to stand before him. And he says, you know what? You had the opportunity. You had this, you had that. You know, and I brought this challenge in your life, and you didn't consider it all joy. Greater is he, closing up, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I don't learn that when everything's hunky-dory. Sometimes maybe I can if I forget the Lord, but the rubber meets the road. Greater is he that is in me when the world is raging around me and I can live it, living proof. Greater is the Spirit of the living God within me than what's going on out there. And you cannot change me. And you're not going to live rent-free in my mind. I have a renewed mind. The Word of God. Amen. I'm done. Lord, I thank you for this people. Lord, I thank you that we are a victorious